choosinghats.com, dedicated to the explanation and demonstration of presuppositional apologetics in defense of the Christian faith for the glory of God.
Is that what you just said?
Can I just say that the discussing logic as a thing that was created is
Well, nobody's saying that. I don't think logic was created.
Yeah, how was it created? Who made it?
I think Eric was asking where it came from, who created it.
Well, according to your worldview, but not according to our worldview, it was not created. Logic is a reflection of the way God thinks in our worldview. It was not created.
I think that Eric actually asked, where did logic come from? I don't think he was asking who created it or something to that effect.
To me, logic is a methodology. It is a tool that we use to ascertain meaning and truth or probability of truth.
According to your worldview, that's correct. But according to our worldview, it's a reflection of the way God thinks.
Okay, so there, Paul Jenkins was referring to logic as a discipline. He was referring to it as a tool or whatever. But obviously there are, perhaps not obviously, but there are particular laws of logic in view here when Cy and Eric are talking about logic. In addition to that, logic involves relationships between propositions and whatnot. And so we're asking about those types of things. We're asking about what logic is in accordance with this unbelieving worldview that the three Pauls want to present.
And we have to be imitators of God.
Yes, agreed. As long as we don't agree that that's your interpretation of logic and we have our interpretation of logic. To me, it's a methodology, it's a tool that I would use to determine probable truth of something.
But then we look at his view of logic and we see whether or not it's actually consistent with itself, with the worldview from which it is promoted from, within the context of Paul's worldview, in other words, and whether or not it's even justified or justifiable within the context of that worldview as well. And then we look to see whether or not he's actually borrowing from our worldview in using logic at all.
First debate, Paul said that it was subject to man. Do you believe that as well?
We don't change logic. Man uses it as a tool.
Okay, see, this is over against what Paul Baird said earlier, because Eric asked whether or not logic can change. Paul asked for clarification on the question, and then Paul answered, the answer is yes. Go back to one of the old podcasts, and you'll hear that. Paul says that logic can change. This Paul is saying that logic cannot change. And he's looking at Cy's question, which is whether or not it's subject to man, and he's seeing the consequence, or a consequence, which follows from that, which is that logic can be changed. So he's not really directly answering the question, but trying to stave off an objection or a refutation that Cy might raise, which is good on his part, but he needs to answer the question as well.
Okay, but how do you account for the laws of logic, or logic itself then?
We define it.
Pardon me?
We define it.
We define it, okay, but...
So a moment ago, that one Paul was saying that logic is, he doesn't say whether or not logic is subject to man, does he? We just discussed that. But then he says that logic cannot be changed by men, okay? But then this other Paul, I think that's the other Paul saying that, it may be the same Paul, is saying that we define logic. Well, if we define logic, we can simply change the definition.
Do you think it's a characteristic of the universe?
I'd say that's a meaningless phrase. It's
that's the phrase that Paul Baird used earlier. So the at least two of the Pauls on the Three Pauls podcast here are not in agreement about something as fundamental to a worldview as logic. How in the world do they even talk to one another, not using the same structure and understanding of logic? He's saying that it's meaningless to speak of logic as a characteristic of the universe, which is what Paul basically said that it was at the beginning. Paul Baird said that it was a properly basic attribute of the universe, which, again, I think he's mixing his categories there. But
it's like
did logic apply before men walked the earth?
did mathematics apply before somebody invented mathematics?
Why? What was wrong with the question before? If logic applied before man walked the earth?
Well, what did 2 plus 2 equal?
Well, let me ask you this. Let me put it this way. Could the sun have both existed and could the universe have both existed and not existed at the same time and in the same way before man walked the earth?
I can answer that.
From your point of view, yes. From mine, no.
Okay, so that is not true at all. If logic is contingent, in some sense, upon man, as Paul wants to say here, the Paul who is in view as of right now, if logic is contingent upon man, it depends upon man in that way, then he has to affirm that prior to man's existence, in some possible world where there is not man, he must say that logic does not, in fact, apply, which is rather strange because it leads to these types of absurdities that we're about to hear where the universe could exist and not exist at the same time in the same respect. Now, these guys are going to go on and they're going to complain and say that time is a function of existence or the universe, which I think I would agree with. However, if there's no law of non-contradiction, if there is no logic at this point, then we could affirm that there is time and there's not time, and affirm that it's at the same time and in the same respect, and affirm that, in fact, it's not at the same time in the same respect. You see, there are all sorts of absurdities generated by the view that the three Pauls want to present here, or at least that this Paul, the second Paul here, I believe it's Paul Jenkins, wants to present. And in fact, Eric is going to mention later on, well, could time exist and not exist at the same time in the same respect? And they say that it's a silly question. We'll get to this in a few minutes. But they really shoot themselves in the foot on that one. But Eric's question is not actually that silly, given the view that is being prescribed here by Paul.
Why not?
I would tend to hold to the laws of non-self-contradiction, whereas okay. you can bend that and say that something.
No, not at all. I'm saying that the laws of logic are a reflection of God's character, of His nature, the way He thinks. But the thing is, I'm wondering why, if logic is subject to man or a tool of man, did it apply before man existed? And you're telling me that it did, and I'm asking why.
See, I think that Paul is getting a little bit nervous here, and he's actually jumping to turn the question back on Psy, and it's not working because Psy has an answer to the question. Psy is saying that the laws of logic reflect the nature and the thinking of God, etc., etc., what he's already said and has been saying and said earlier on this day in his discussion with Justin Schieber. Justin, by the way, gave a similar answer to this concerning logic and got his worldview destroyed. But anyway, Paul is quick here to try and turn the criticism from off of his worldview back onto Psy's, and he's not actually answering the question. He's saying, well, I believe that the law of non-contradiction would hold. Okay, but why? You already affirmed that the law of non-contradiction is contingent upon human beings. So if human beings do not exist, it follows that logic does not exist either. Be consistent with your view and think through what you're saying. That's all Psy wants you to do here.
No, I didn't say that. I responded with another question about mathematics. Right. What did 2 plus 2 equal?
No, that's not. I asked you if the universe
made it equal to.
That's just dodging the question. Like I said, what was wrong with the question that Psy asked? You know, we could do the same thing with math, but it's just going, he's just pushing the problem back. He needs to come around and address this.
So I asked if the universe could have both existed and not existed at the same time in the same way.
Let me pick that one. Right. Let me pick that
before
one.
Man existed, and you said,
it's
no,
it's a self-refuting question.
Hmm.
Asking if the universe could exist and not exist at the same time and in the same way is a self-refuting question.
Why, Paul?
Because time is a function of the universe.
But Paul, time is also not a function of the universe, given that there is no law of non-contradiction. I don't understand why this is that difficult. If there's no law of non-contradiction, all sorts of absurdities apply. And in fact, Paul wants to say that there are actually true contradictions even now. so I don't see why he's having difficulty understanding why it could be the case, in fact, that the universe exists and not exists at the same time in the same respect. But, you know, we can concede to Paul here some anyway, even though we've already demonstrated that what Sai is saying is perfectly fine. We could just concede to Paul and say, okay, fine, in the same respect. Can the universe exist and not exist in the same respect prior to the existence of man, and hence the existence of logic, which is contingent upon man? And the reason that logic is contingent upon man, in the view of the second Paul here, is because man defines it. And yet he also says that logic can't change, which makes no sense, because logic does in fact change if it came into existence when man came on the scene.
So
if you're going to measure, okay, the universe is existing, the universe is not existing, and you're measuring that within a time frame. Where are you getting that time frame from?
Okay, let's change. Could time have existed and not existed at the same time?
Now, I will admit that when I first heard Eric ask this, I thought he was a little more off than what he actually is. Just now, in listening to this, I realized how pertinent this actually is to the problem. Because it's essentially what Eric asked is getting to the root of what I just brought up. Which, I guess the logic behind what I'm saying there is that if I bring something up, then it's pertinent. But that doesn't necessarily follow. But anyway, my arrogance aside, when Eric brings up this question, can time exist and not exist at the same time, in the same respect, or whatever, all he's doing is playing more on the reductio at the same point that I was. He's pointing out that, in fact, if man is not on the scene, and if, therefore, logic is not on the scene, as it were, then the universe could exist and not exist at the same time and in the same respect. Paul is replying and saying, no, that's self-refuting, etc., because time is a function of the universe or existence or however you want to put that. And Eric is saying, yeah, but could time have existed and not existed at the same time in the same respect? Well, the answer is yes. According to their view, the answer would have to be yes. Why? Because they're rejecting logic. So I don't know why they would affirm that time is any different than what Eric is proposing in his question. Now, what's funny here is that they actually are going to laugh at Eric's question, say that it's silly or stupid or something to that effect, and then they're going to turn around and answer it, and they're going to answer it in the affirmative anyway. They're going to say, the answer is yes. And for a completely different reason than what I've just explained. For a completely different reason than why they should be affirming the question, why they should be affirming answering yes to the question. So listen carefully.
That is a ridiculous question.
At an event horizon, yes, it could.
Okay, so we've got two things going on there, actually three. First of all, they're laughing to mock him. They haven't thought through the argument. They're not thinking about what they're doing. It's easier to mock than it is to think. Okay? Second of all, he calls it a ridiculous question, all right? And he doesn't understand, it seems, that the reason it's so ridiculous is because right now we're reasoning upon their presuppositions. We're reasoning upon what they have given us with respect to their worldview, which is that prior to man coming on the scene, there was no law of non-contradiction. There was no logic, period. Why? Because man is the one who defines logic. Logic is contingent upon man. And this view leads to these types of ridiculous absurdities and leads to having to ask these types of questions. But third, Paul answers the question and says, well, the answer is yes. So at the event horizon is what he says. So if the answer is yes, and he gives this allegedly scientific answer at the event horizon, time could exist and not exist at the same time in the same respect, then what is so ridiculous about Eric's question anyway, according to your own worldview? It's maddening that they're not thinking through what they are saying here. Let's just go on.
Same time.
Do you believe that there was time before man existed?
Oh, dear.
Was there time before man existed?
Yes.
Okay, there was time before man existed. Now, I'm asking you, in time, prior to man existing, could the universe have both existed and not existed at the same time in the same way prior to man existing?
We don't know.
So it's possible.
I would have to say no.
Okay, no. Based on what? Why not?
Self-contradiction.
Can you define
the situation where something exists, where can you define that exact scenario where something does exist and doesn't exist? Can you give a definition or a...
No, I'm saying that it's impossible.
What does he mean by defining that? I'm not sure. I think that we could say this, X and not X at the same time, the same respect. X and not X. It exists and it does not exist. There's a definition or a description. I'm affirming a contradiction there, which is what Paul's buddy, Paul Baird, is giving as his alleged answer to the presuppositionalist argument. He's merely citing dialetheism, which holds to true contradictions or the possibility of true contradictions. And not only that, but this contradiction that I just mentioned is entailed by what the second Paul in view here, Paul Jenkins, wants to say with respect to his worldview. Yeah, these questions are ridiculous. These things are absurd to talk about. And the reason why is because they are denying God. They've turned away from God's revelation to them. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness, and their thoughts become futile. Paul right now is affirming the law of non-contradiction in a possible world in which he says that there need not be the law of non-contradiction. In a possible world where there are no humans, there is no law of non-contradiction, in Paul's view. You see, I don't even know how to state that or some of the different absurdities that we can pull out of it, but he's not being consistent because on the one hand, he wants to affirm the law of non-contradiction prior to the existence of man, and on the other hand, he wants to affirm the law of non-contradiction upon the basis of the existence of man who defines the law of non-contradiction, and that is inconsistent.
Because I believe in the absolute laws of logic. I'm just wondering why you believe
it's impossible. Okay. Well, yeah, I believe it's impossible because it's self-contradictory.
Yeah, okay, but why are self-contradictions not allowed before man came along? Where is this logic that you're talking about before man existed?
I think Paul Baird has already stated that the laws of logic are properly basic, and that's all you need to...
Is it a characteristic...
A moment ago, first of all, properly basic is referring to belief. So they're mixing categories and being really confusing, unless I'm missing something here. These laws of logic, or whatever, logic is basic to the universe. It's an attribute of the universe. It exists alongside of the universe. That is what they want to affirm now. A moment ago, the second Paul disagreed with Paul number one. Okay, so Paul Jenkins disagreed with Paul Baird that, in fact, logic is a properly basic attribute of the universe or whatever, characteristic of the universe, however you want to term that. Go back and listen. Just a moment ago, we just went over this. He disagreed with him concerning that point. He said, in fact, that he thought it was a meaningless statement, something to that effect. Now he's turning around and saying, no, Paul Baird already answered that. He said that they are, an attribute of the universe, or here he's saying properly basic. Okay, but you just rejected that. That was the whole purpose in going through that exercise. That's why Cy asked the question that he did. I mean, I don't mean to be rude here or a jerk or something, but these guys are not holding a consistent thought in their minds for more than 2 minutes. They're not following their own arguments. They've given virtually no thought to their worldviews and then want to arrogantly proclaim things that are against the Christian faith. It's just an evidence of how foolish the non-Christian worldview, non-Christian thought, really is. In any event, what he's presenting here actually contradicts what he just said as well. So first of all, it contradicts what he said concerning his disagreement with Paul Baird, which he did not make explicit, but it was implicit, and we already went over that. Second of all, he contradicts what he just said a moment ago about man defining logic, such that logic is contingent upon man. And now third, he wants to make it contingent upon the universe. That's fine. There are possible worlds in which the universe does not exist, and hence there are possible worlds in which logic does not apply, which again leads to absurdity. And that's all we have to do with that. In other words, prior to the existence of the universe then, it was possible that the universe both exists and not exists in the same time, the same respect. We're right back to the same absurdities again.
Think of the universe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
okay, now let me ask you this question. Is constant change a characteristic of the universe?
We don't know.
You don't know? You're trying to tell me that you don't know if the universe is changing?
Are you able to see the full extent of the universe to be able to check?
Isn't it getting older? Isn't it like the second law of thermodynamics? Aren't you changing? Aren't the things within this universe changing? Isn't constant change a property of this universe? Are you telling me you don't know that?
No, there is a very simple way of elucidating that question. All you have to do is you have to ask the question, how long can a condition of no change exist?
That's not the same question at all. I don't understand why the second Paul continues to offer his own counter questions that are irrelevant in response to size questions that are very direct and relevant.
Well, I just want to get back to my question. Is change a property of the universe?
Let's go for it. This is fun. I'm enjoying myself.
Again, with the mocking tone, the sophistry, whatever we want to call this, let me just come out and say this. Paul Baird, you're not that good. You haven't dismissed presuppositionalism. You haven't defeated Psi in a single debate. You haven't given an answer to his most basic questions. You have no place to stand and make the types of claims that you do. So let's not be so dismissive of the presuppositionalist program and dismissive of the questions that Psi is asking that are pertinent to your worldview, and whether or not it's even intelligible. Let's not treat Psi and Eric like children, but instead listen to the things that they're asking you because they care about the state of your soul, and you don't seem to at all.
Yes.
Okay, now if change is a property of the universe, and unchanging laws that are a property of the universe, how do you reconcile the two? They both can't be properties of the universe according to your worldview.
I've defined logic as a methodology. It's a tool that we use, whereas the universe is a physical thing. Or it's not even a physical thing, it's a collection of objects. The universe is a collection of the objects within it.
And why couldn't contradictions apply then, if it's only a tool that man's used? Why couldn't contradictions apply before man existed?
You see, he just changed his definition of logic and his understanding of logic. Okay, well, no. It's not something. Logic is not something. It's a tool that's used by man, etc. It's defined by man, etc. You see, he's going back on what he just said a moment ago because we've already been here. Psi's already argued him down that path. It was a dead end. It was a dark alley, okay? We got into stupid questions like, you know, does time exist and not exist? Which is not stupid because there's some problem on Eric's part. It's stupid because it's absurd and is a logical result of the unbelieving worldview that's in view here. So anyway, we've already been this way. We've already been down that path of logic is a tool that's used by man, is defined by man, etc. If you render logic contingent upon humanity, you run into some crazy absurdities, like we've already seen. Now he switched over again to Paul Barrett's view, which he had just a moment before said was meaningless. Now he's jumping back onto the view that we already refuted.
Does God exist? God himself said that he exists in Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. Yet Christians are constantly challenged to prove his reality. Most Christians choose to present evidence for God's existence from reason, from nature, and from faith experiences, not Psi 10 Brueggenkate. In this three-part debate series, Unbelievable, Psi engages atheist Paul Baird using what he terms the biblical approach, in which God is presented as the necessary foundation for everything, even the very ability to debate. Discover how well-meaning Christians unintentionally put God on trial in their attempts to proclaim the validity of the Creator. Gain new insight into how to present Jehovah God to the world in a spirited interchange between two commanding speakers with polar opposite views. Available on CD with bonus DVD. Order the dynamic resource, Unbelievable, at www.creationstore.org.
ChoosingHats.com, dedicated to the explanation and demonstration of presuppositional apologetics in defense of the Christian faith for the glory of God.